Matthew chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you might look right inside your bulletin, and there you'll find also our outline and the scripture for today from Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in just a moment in verse number 18. And so Matthew 1, 18, why don't we all stand together in reverence to the Word of God as we give attendance to the reading this morning? Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read beginning in verse 18. We'll read down through verse number 21 for our message today, which I have entitled, The Gift of Redemption. And so follow with me tonight, this morning, as we read Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for coming down to this earth, a sinful earth, a needy earth, a hating earth, and yet you brought love, and you brought joy, and you brought salvation. And for that, we thank you, and we ask you to bless our time in your word this morning, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what are you expecting this Christmas morning? Perhaps based upon different ages and different backgrounds, people are expecting different things. Perhaps some of the children have an idea in mind of what they would like to receive for Christmas. I have learned over the years that it is dangerous. It is actually improper at times, really, to expect anything in particular. I remember as a 16-year-old boy, I was living in Korea. My parents were missionaries there. We were living in Seoul, and I had let my parents know repeatedly what I wanted for Christmas. I had learned how to make many hints to them, and along the way, I'd let them know that what I really would like to have for Christmas is a television set so that I could watch the American Forces Network. I wanted to watch TV that was in English and see what was happening back in America, and so I had let them know that that's what I wanted for my Christmas gift that year. Well, sure enough, a few days before Christmas, there was a box under the Christmas tree. It looked about the size of a television. I thought, my parents got their act together. This is good. And they understood the hints, and this is going to be a great Christmas. And my expectations were real high. And sure enough, Christmas morning came, and I went to that box, and I tore that box open, and I looked inside, and there was newspaper, and newspaper, and newspaper. And I got to the bottom of the box, and there was a letter. And it was in such beautiful handwriting. And it was from my wonderful parents. And the letter said, Dear Paul, because we know that you have great spiritual insight and a love for God and His people, we want you to know that we have decided for your Christmas this year to plant in Israel a tree in honor of the Zionist movement on your behalf. We know that you will be grateful for the opportunity to plant this tree in Israel in honor of the Zionist movement. Thank you for being a wonderful son. Love, always, Mom and Dad. When I was reading that letter, shock and horror came over me. Honestly, I really did not know what the Zionist movement was. I did not know how to connect the dots between watching television in Korea and planting a tree in Israel And I began to try to figure out what in the world was going on in the hearts of my parents when they gave me this letter. And then they just let it go for a while and just let me think that that was my Christmas present. And that's when I really began to understand what child abuse really was, just to be honest with you. And I began to think in my mind how sick. And sometimes some of you might think, Pastor's got a little quirk. Now you know why. I've got quirks from those days. And several moments later, but it seemed like an eternity, they brought out another box and it had a television, and I was able to watch I Love Lucy and all those shows, you know, Leave It to Beaver, all those godly shows they used to have on television. But the fact of the matter is, my expectations were certainly dashed that Christmas morning. And I believe if there's anyone whose expectations were delayed in the Christmas story, it would have been Joseph. I believe if there's any character in the Christmas narrative whose Christmas was not really happening the way he had planned it in his mind, it would have been Joseph. In fact, the Bible tells us that at one point he was even thinking to himself, how can I perhaps end this relationship with Mary kind of privately? How can we kind of subtly put her to the side? And such thoughts were reeling through his mind. The fact of the matter is, however, that Joseph was yet to discover what all of us have discovered since, and that is that Jesus Christ, Joseph's son, really God's son, came down according to John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh. The eternal Word, Jesus Christ, eternal God, was going to take on the form of a man. Deity would be wrapped up in humanity. And Jesus would be placed in a manger, presented to the world as the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ would become God's gift to the world. And for 33 years as God, he would feel everything that we feel. He would know the pain that we experience. He would understand the physical pain that we experience. He would understand the trials and the temptations. The shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. And for 33 years, he would come down in the form of man, and he would know the difficulty that we experience, and he would understand the trials of our life. And so what we learn in Joseph's narrative is that what appears to be hopeless to us, what oftentimes is the unexpected mess to us, is the very atmosphere where God will do his miraculous work. And what Joseph didn't realize was that he was on the cusp of a miracle. He was about to see something great. In fact, the greatest truth the world would ever experience was right around the corner from Joseph. And I don't know this morning what unmet expectation you may be experiencing. And I don't know what challenges in your life right now at this Christmas season, but I want you to learn with Joseph that God is a loving God and that he has an expected end for your life and that he's always working even when we don't quite understand how. And so let's learn from Joseph and Mary, and let's learn this morning more about our Lord. I want you to see, first of all, if you're taking notes, the revelation of God. I want you to see God revealing himself and his truth and his son to Joseph. And the Bible says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You're going to find, if you watch this morning, more than a dozen different ways that the Holy Spirit protects the truth of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And if you heard me just a moment ago read this verse, it says that this was before Joseph and Mary came together. And you heard me read that she was a virgin and that she had conceived of the Holy Ghost, not of Joseph, not of our Adamic sin line, but of the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible gives us more concerning this truth. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so here we see the revelation of God concerning the incarnation of his Son, the arrival of his Son. And the revelation of God, first of all, is given to an espoused couple. It is given to Joseph and Mary. And the Bible tells us in verse number 18 that Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, when we read the word espoused, we're reading about what is often referred to as an espousal or sometimes the betrothal period. It is a time, something like engagement, but much deeper than that. In fact, when you were espoused to be married in the Holy Land in the first century, you literally were legally already married. You had already contracted. You had already agreed. The love was already pledged, and the purity and the loyalty until the day of the wedding was entirely expected. And so Mary and Joseph were legally, contractually married, and God came to them during this point of their relationship as they were an espoused couple. And I want you to make this note in your mind. Joseph loved Mary deeply. We're going to see that later on in the passage. And this was a man who cared much for her. And this news at first was very strange to him. How could she be with child? They were contractually married. They had not known one another intimately. They were a pure young man and a pure young woman. They had been waiting according to the law, according to the will of God, before their marriage would be consummated. And now Joseph hears this news. And the fact is that Joseph loved Mary very, very much and sincerely loved her with all of his heart. Now, sometimes in today's society, we might feign love. We might say that we love in a manipulative way, but that was not Joseph. Joseph, in his heart, had great love for Mary. I remember years ago, our youngest son, Matthew, was sitting with his mother in church, and he was fidgety, and he was coloring things, and he was talking, and he was just having a hard time paying attention. And my wife leaned over and said, Matthew, when we get home, I'm going to tell Dad how you've been acting, and you are going to receive a spanking. Well, he got a little better when he heard that news, and after a little while, when I got done preaching, I gave the invitation, like I'll do in a few moments, and he came down to the front, down here to what we refer to as the altar, and he began to pray. And his mother came and knelt down next to him, and she said, Matthew, why are you praying? What are you praying about? And he said, Mommy, I'm praying for a wife just like you. Now, one might question the sincerity of that love and that commitment. One might wonder, why is he saying that? It doesn't have anything to do with the spanking, does it? And we might wonder about the sincerity sometimes of what people say. But I want you to put in your mind that Joseph sincerely loved Mary. And this was great, troubling news to him. Notice not only it to an espoused couple, but again, to a pure couple. It says in verse number 18 that they were espoused. And the Bible tells us that this was news before they had come together. Luke 1:26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Again, the Bible tells us that she was a virgin, and one of the reasons I love the King James Bible is because of its accuracy and because of the way it protects the doctrines of the Word of God. Many translations refer to Mary simply as a young woman. How many of you know there's a difference between a young woman and a virgin, and God is protecting and helping us to recognize she was a pure and a prepared vessel for this very moment. And so this revelation comes to an espoused couple, and it comes to a pure couple, but it also comes to a blessed couple. The Bible says that Mary was highly favored. The Bible tells us that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Here we see in the Christmas story, the Trinity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the Bible says. But all of this took place because of the working of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit working on our behalf, working for our redemption. This was God's doing. This was not man's doing. This was God's plan unfolding. You see, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And the Bible says that he did this to redeem them that were under the law, that they might be that they might receive the adoption of the sons of God. Mary and Joseph did not choose to be God's instruments. God chose them to be his instruments. And God is willing to use people who yield themselves to him. How many of you are thankful this morning that Mary and Joseph, though perhaps bewildered at first, that Mary ultimately said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." How many of you are thankful that Mary and Joseph submitted to God's will for their life? Amen? But God has a plan for your life. It may not be nearly as Mary and Joseph, and certainly would not be, but God wants us to carry the message. God wants us to spread the news of their wonderful beginning, the first Christmas. God has a purpose and a plan for your life in 2015, and it's more than a job, and it's more than a career, and it's more than a new car, house, or boat. God has a purpose for your life, and I can't tell you specifically what it is, but I can tell you this: God is still looking for yielded vessels today to carry his good news. And Mary and Joseph said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." The revelation of God was given to them. And my friend, every time you open the Bible, the revelation of God is given to you. But notice, secondly, the reasoning of Joseph. Now think about it for a moment. Look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, one author said, we don't always feel that God's way is right, but his faithfulness doesn't depend on our vacillating emotions, rather on his unchanging word. And I can imagine the emotions that Joseph must have felt. And I can imagine as he reeled with the thoughts of, how did this happen? What should I do? But in the end, Joseph did not respond emotionally. Joseph responded scripturally. And I want to challenge you this morning that when life gives you circumstances that cause you to wonder and question, and there's potentially a vacillation in your life, let me encourage you, come back to the Word of God. Listen to the revelation of God. No doubt Joseph wondered and pondered, and none of us could blame him. One author wrote of it and spoke of it, and I love some of the terminology and language about Joseph's pondering that he shared. He said, "This isn't the way I planned it, God. Not at all. My child being born in a cave with donkeys? My wife giving birth with only the stars to hear her pain? This isn't what I imagined. But now look, here we are. In a cave surrounded by a sheep pasture. Who will celebrate with us? Did I miss something, God? When you sent the angel and spoke of the son being born, I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, the priest, and perhaps multitudes gathered to welcome in your son. I envisioned a pageant, perhaps, a parade, a banquet at least. I mean, this is the Messiah, God. This child is yours. And forgive me for asking, but is this how God enters the world? The coming of the angel I accepted. The questions people asked about the pregnancy, I can tolerate. The trip to Jerusalem, fine. But why a birth in a stable, God? Any minute now, Mary will give birth, not to a child, but to the Messiah. Not to an infant, but to God. I suppose Joseph had reason to wonder. I suppose it wasn't what he was expecting when he planned out his New Year's plan. The reasoning of Joseph, let's take a look at it this morning. Notice, first of all, the concern of Joseph. Verse 19 says he was a just man. He was not willing to make her a public example. The word just means he was righteous. In other words, folks, this morning, he understood the laws of God. He understood that if someone was to commit fornication, if they were to be involved like this appeared to be, then they should be put away. They should be punished. And he was thinking in his mind, what if that was the case? And what will I do? And he was a just man, a Jewish man who lived by the laws of God. And he had compassion. Notice the compassion of Joseph in verse 19. It says, he was minded to put her away privily, privately. Even in the moment of confusion, I want you to see this, Joseph never stopped loving. Joseph does not get angry. He does not say, I'm going to call my attorney. He does not say, I'm going to put this on the paper. He does not say, I'm going to let everybody know. Even when he was trying to grapple with the news that he had received, still, he had this gracious heart. He did not want to present her publicly and shame her. He thought of how could this be handled in a way that would be less hurtful to Mary. And I want to challenge you, when you're in those moments of turmoil and stress and you feel like something didn't go quite the way you wanted it to go, let me encourage you to respond spiritually in those moments. Let me encourage you to respond lovingly. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Notice this. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Somebody mistreats you at work. Somebody mistreats your children. Something didn't go right in your family, and there's this temptation to get bitter, and there's this temptation to fight back. And yet Joseph continued loving, and he continued looking for the way that would most graciously be dealt with in this problem. The concern of Joseph is amazing, and the compassion of Joseph is vividly seen. But notice, thirdly, the consolation of Joseph. I want you to see something in verse 20. It says, but while he thought on these things. Would you say that with me, please? But while he thought. You see, Joseph did not make a hasty decision. And I want to challenge you this morning, as troubling news may come or as things happen in a way that we do not think is fair, that we should not just quickly make a decision in the flesh. The Bible says that Joseph thought on these things. Joseph meditated. No doubt he prayed. And Joseph took time thinking about the things that he had heard and considering the news that he had received. Many times people, again, with anger or with a quick response will make the wrong decision. And let me encourage you, my friend, never make a major decision when you're in the valley of difficulty, the valley of emotion. Take some time and wait on the Lord. That's our verse for this year. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Joseph waited on the Lord. Joseph could have walked out in anger. Joseph could have shamed Mary, but instead he waited on the Lord. And sometimes men get angry, and sometimes men say hurtful things, and we demean our families and our loved ones, and we can walk out and do the wrong thing. How many of you are thankful that Joseph did the right thing? He patiently waited on the Lord. Oh, thank God for that. The revelation of God is given clearly to Joseph and Mary. The reasoning of Joseph is seen patiently as he waited. But notice thirdly this morning, the redemption of mankind. Now notice the story as it unfolds in verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now notice the redemption of mankind as it has unfolded to Joseph and Mary and to you and me today. First of all, it comes through a miraculous plan. The Bible tells us in verse number 20 that God had a miraculous plan. and that thou fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Some refer to this as God's Holy Spirit anesthesiology. Suddenly the Spirit of God came upon Mary, and within Mary indwelt this wonderful baby, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us of Jesus in Colossians 2:9, but in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so the virgin conception was necessary, because when Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, He was conceived miraculously, yes. But He was not conceived with the Adamic bloodline. He had no human father. Therefore, when He died upon the cross and when His blood was shed, it was not just the blood of another martyr or another prophet. It was the blood of God that was shed on Calvary for the sins of the entire world. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, my friend, this morning, that Jesus Christ, who was conceived miraculously of the Holy Spirit, as that took place then as He was born, then as He lived that perfectly sinless life for those 33 years, when He died upon the cross, when He shed that blood was perfect, that blood was efficacious. It covers the sins of all who believe. And may I might remind you this morning that this miraculous plan from the very beginning, from the cradle all the way to the cross, was God's plan of redemption for all who will believe. It was a miraculous plan. Back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, Moses went to God and he said, God, when I stand before Pharaoh and I tell him I'm coming here for a reason and I tell him to let your people go, who do I tell him sent me, and by what authority do I come to speak to Pharaoh? And God said unto Moses, you tell Pharaoh that I am sent you. Not that I was, not that I will be, but that I am the great I am. There was never a time when I was not. I am that I am. That is my name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as it was the only begotten of the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what the cults say. I don't care what the false teachers with their little briefcases coming to your door say. Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem's manger. Jesus is eternal God. He simply put on humanity in Bethlehem's manger. But because He put on humanity, He could suffer and bleed and die for our sin. And we ought to thank God that He condescended to our low estate, knowing every sin we would ever commit, knowing every bad thought we would ever have, knowing every time we would violate His law. He came to redeem us from the law, and there's only one way that could happen. That was by shedding His blood. For without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. But without the virgin birth, without the Holy Spirit conceiving in Mary, the shedding of the blood meant nothing. But because of the Holy Spirit's work, the shedding of the blood means everything. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, but I'm a member of a church. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, but I've been baptized in three churches. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, but I'm a Republican. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But I'm a Democrat. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But I'm this, but I'm that. Hey, you're not going to get to heaven by any other means save the blood of Jesus Christ. There is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that way is Jesus Christ. Do you know Him today? The redemption of mankind is through a miraculous plan. It's a miraculous, wonderful plan that God became man and dwelt among us and died for us on the cross. I was witnessing to a dear Muslim man this week. A man whose faith has taught him that Jesus was not God, that God has no son. Oh, what a tragedy to to live life without a Savior, without an atonement, without the knowledge of sins forgiven, to live life without knowing the love of God. But the love of God has been made known, and it's been made known by the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a miraculous plan, but notice secondly, with an eternal provision. Now listen to what the angel says in verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Would you say that last phrase with me? For he shall save his people. Now everyone needs a Savior. Everyone needs a Savior. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the word Jesus means Jehovah saves. And God sent His Son to be our Savior. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Again, no church can save you. No religion can save you. No affiliation can save you. And I thank God for the fact that I'm a member of a Baptist church. I thank God that the Bible has given me biblical, traditional values which I hold and cling to and preach. But those values and that church membership and all of your affiliations will never save you. There is only one Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. That means this is a well-established theology. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, Jesus came for that simple reason, that singular reason, to save sinners. If our greatest need had been education, then God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been financial, then God would have sent an economist. If our greatest need had been in some earthly realm, He could have sent some man of this earth to solve the problem. But our greatest need was salvation, was forgiveness. And so God sent His Son to be a Savior for us. He came to this world as a Savior. It was a miraculous plan. It is an eternal provision. But notice thirdly, with a personal promise. A personal promise. Now notice in verse 23 what the Bible says. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I love the name Emmanuel. Would you say that with me this morning? Emmanuel. All right, one more time. Emmanuel. All right, let's have the ladies say Emmanuel and the men say God with us. All right, ladies, Emmanuel. Men, God with us. Say, what's different from all the churches? That's a big start right there. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh. And His purpose in coming was to give true hope through eternal life. And only God could do that. John chapter 1 and verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, when you receive Christ as your Savior, now you have Emmanuel. Now you have God with you. And I don't know about your family. My family needs Him with us. And I don't know about your children. My children need Him with them. And I don't know about your situation, but my situation needs God with me. Not just a home in heaven. Thank God for that. But I need Emmanuel. God with me today and tomorrow. And that's what He came to be. And by the presence of His Holy Spirit and by the presence of His Word, He is God with us. How about it? Is God in your family? Is God in your heart? Paul said, Christ in you, your hope and glory. Some of you that have been here for a while, you know that I keep a lot of files on things, and I have files of my children writing letters to me when they were real little and when they knew how smart I was. And sometimes I pull those letters out and I remind them, you know. And I have files of lots of our church families, and sometimes when we have a wedding or a funeral, I'll pull some of those things of remembrance out to try to remember maybe something special. And I have a file of special notes I've received at Christmas time. And there's one that's dear to my heart, and I looked at it this past week, and it's from a little girl. She's not a little girl anymore, but her name is Anna. And this is what she said. She said, "Dear Pastor, thank you for this church and for your preaching. I know that you work very hard to do that stuff. This year, my dad learned not to drink and smoke and how to be nice. Thank you and God bless you. Love, Anna." When God is with you, your life changes. If Emmanuel is in you, you're a different daddy. You're a different husband. You're a different wife. You're a different family. It's one thing to know that you're going to heaven for all of eternity. Praise God for that. But it's another thing to know that God is in you and with you, and that you are becoming new, and that He is changing your life day by day by day. God has promised redemption, and God has promised companionship through His Son. The question is, have you ever trusted in His Son? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ exclusively? Are you following Him passionately? Is Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord this morning? I went to a Starbucks this past week, and I walked in to get some hot tea, and I gave my gift card to the lady that was standing there, one of these prepaid cards, and she was a real talkative gal, and she was talking to the people in front of her, and she started talking to me, and she took that card. She said, "You know, there are millions of cards like this, and annually there are millions of dollars on these cards that are never redeemed." She said, "People use some of it, but not all of it. Some people never use any of it. They lose the cards. They don't use the cards." She said, "Starbucks has a special account that's making millions of dollars in interest just because of unredeemed cards like this one." Boy, she's giving me the whole theory. And by the way, she's telling the truth. But as I walked away from Starbucks with my hot tea in my hand, those words kept ringing in my mind. Never redeemed. Never redeemed. Never redeemed. What good is a gift card that's never redeemed? So I give you a $100 gift card to Starbucks, but it's never redeemed? What good is that? You say, "Pastor Chapel, I have a card that proves my church membership. I have a card for this. I have a card for that." That's not the point. Redemption doesn't come that way. Redemption comes through Jesus, and it's a wonderful thing to know about Him. I'm glad you're in Christmas service, but the fact is this morning, if you have never believed on the Lord Jesus with all of your heart, then you've never been redeemed, you see. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, you see. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And there's two groups of people in this room this morning. There are the redeemed and there are the never redeemed. There's not the almost redeemed. The redeemed and the never redeemed. One songwriter said, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it." Oh, friend, this morning I ask you this simple question. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Do you know that you have a home in heaven? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? Don't leave this room having never been redeemed. That's why He came, to give you redemption. Father, we